is part of man's nature that God has created. Judas is looking now for an opportunity to betray Christ. Verse 7, then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in, and ye shall say to the goodman of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room, furnished, there make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. Another one of these setups. Go into the city and you'll see a guy with a pitcher of water. And you're going to say, this is the words you're going to say to him, and he's going to go show you a room. All the ways in which, you know, all the circumstances, what about that guy, you wonder? But all we can really do is wonder, you know, I mean, did a dream come to him? Prepare a room. The teacher's coming. The Christ would honor that man's house with his presence at the Last Supper certainly is significant for him, whether he knew it at the time or not. The preparing to eat the Passover. What is this Passover, for those who don't know? If you've ever heard of Moses and in the Old Testament, when the Israelites were held captive in slavery by Pharaoh in Egypt, Moses came and declared that he should let the people go, but God hardened the heart of Pharaoh that he would not let the people go, as it is written, so that he might show his power in him, and that his name might be declared throughout all nations. For this very same purpose have I raised thee up. God has created all things for himself, even the wicked for the evil day. And the Passover represents that. The Passover had to do with the final plague. You know, there had been, first Moses demonstrated the power of God by turning his staff into a serpent. When Pharaoh's magicians did the same thing, Moses' staff devoured theirs. Then he turned the waters of the river Nile to blood. Not just the river, but all the waters of Egypt. And then there were plagues of frogs and of flies and of other, you know, insects, locusts, hail, fire, darkness, and other plagues. And they all came upon the Egyptians, yet the Pharaoh would not let them go. So in the final plague, God instructed the Israelites to paint the lintel of their doorposts with the blood of a lamb. And he instituted it at that time as the Passover. They would eat the lamb and the rest of the traditional meal, and they would be ready to depart. Because the Passover refers to the death angel, which when he would see the blood over the doorposts of the house, would pass over their house and not smite them with the plague. And the plague was the slaying of the firstborn of all the Egyptians, or anyone who had not the blood over their doorpost. Very much a type of Christ, that where we have Christ's blood on us, and so the wrath of God passes over us. But you notice, you can believe God, but if you don't put the blood over your doorposts, it wouldn't do you any good. Because if you really believed, you would do it. That's why faith doesn't stand alone. People talk about faith alone. Faith alone is a contradiction in terms. Faith alone is a sham. The only time the Bible talks about faith alone or by faith only, it's in denial that such a thing can save a man. Because there's no such thing as faith alone. There's no such thing. Faith always brings works of some kind. Faith makes you do things. When you believe things, you do things. It's as simple as that. And if you don't do anything, it means you really haven't believed. Because if you believe in Christ, I guarantee you're going to learn things that will teach you things you ought to do. So the Passover feast that was celebrated in Israel, and is celebrated by the Jews to this day, celebrates the exodus of the Jews from Egypt. And especially that night when God, when the death angel passed over the children of Israel and slew the Egyptians' firstborn. From the firstborn in Pharaoh's house to the firstborn slave. All the firstborn were slain. And Pharaoh finally relented and let them go. Of course, we know that he chased them down and caught up with them near the Red Sea. And when the sea was parted, they entered in and they were drowned in the Red Sea. I have a song about that on oraclesofgod.org. Exodus chapter 15. Verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof till it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup, after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament, in my blood which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. One of the biggest mistakes people make is when they see Jesus take the cup and bless it, you give to his disciples. Today, we think of that in terms of the ritual of communion, what is called communion. But is that really what this is about? I mean, we've been learning from Jesus. This whole book of Luke does what we practice in many churches. I don't practice it. But what it is what practiced? Does that appear to be the sort of thing that you think Jesus was trying to institute? You know, it's so ingrained in people's minds. They're so indoctrinated. They're so conditioned to think a certain way that I know when I start to talk about this that a great number of people begin to be offended and they begin to be in doubt. Because communion to them is this thing they've been taught is extremely sacred and it's been driven into their minds. And communion is sacred. But is the ritual they perform truly communion?